going on here?
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker. But you are not a Jedi yet.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy.
You are an old man and a fool!
You're unworthy!
The dark side of the Force is a pathway to many abilities some consider to be unnatural.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Hey! Take those headphones off right now!
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Anybody care about what I want?
I do.
Shut up. Get out.
Are you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder?
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
Got a bad feeling about this.
This drink, I like it. Another!
No. I am your father.
Guys,
I'm bringing the party to you.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Hey guys, and welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Jehoberty, and joining me tonight is Ron Deanna.
Aloha.
Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
And Taylor Catcher.
Hey there.
On tonight's show, we're going to have a big showdown between two of the biggest movie franchises in history, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. But before we get into this...
Taylor, I apologize in advance that you just said you had a rough day at work.
I'm just still not sure whose side I'm on, you know?
Well, I'm not either. That's why it's going to be interesting. But before we get into this, I wanted to ask you this, guys. What's going on with Captain America now?
And what I don't want to talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it?
It's too sad and upsetting. I'm just kidding. I'm okay, but it's bad.
I mean, have you read it? Have you read Secret Empire?
I'm not buying those. I'm not supporting that. Dang it. I'm not supporting that trash, that National Enquirer trash they're saying about Captain America and right now. So I'm not supporting it.
Look, they already said they're going back to the basics after this anyway. So this is just a prelude to reboot.
It's kind of like how Siege was the cap off of Bendis's run, where all the storylines came together that he had been working on for years, and he just wrapped everything up in one blowout 4-issue series.
Yeah, before we get into this, though,
I love
Siege.
Now,
if we want to talk about good series, the button is happening right now in DC Comics, and there's some crazy stuff happening. They got Watchmen's, and they got Batman's, and they got Flashes all over the place. Woo, lordy, so good.
But as far as Captain America goes, I guess it was last year is when this all happened, when it all went down. Steve Rogers.
The same week Rebirth happened, this Captain America stuff started.
It was the same week, and it was...
Yeah, because I remember I was like, ooh, Rebirth's coming out this week. And I was like, wait, Captain America's dehydrated? What's going on here? So I had to buy both, and then that was the first... I always hate plugging my own stuff on the show, but that was the first comics chat we had since I moved, because I was like, Chris, we're not even in the same place, but this is like the craziest week in comics that's happened. It was last March, the same week... Marvel couldn't let DC have their day for like 1 second, so they had to have something come out at the same time, and that's what happened, same week.
And it was right around his 75th anniversary, too, right? I think.
Is it? I didn't even know when the anniversary's coming up for Cap.
It would have been 41, 42, obviously, somewhere around there during the war.
Batman was 38, 30, or 39, right? Or Superman was 38. So their 75th anniversary's just happened, too.
But Cap's a war creation, so, I mean, even if we weren't in the war, it couldn't have been earlier than 40.
Right.
So the basics of what I know is everything that's happened since World War II has been rewritten by the Allies with the Cosmic Cube. And originally, the Axis powers won, but some of the whoever was left got the Cosmic Cube and rewrote history to the history we know.
Right. So technically... Everything that Captain America's done that has been heroic still happened and is still relevant in the Marvel cinema, in the Marvel comic book universe. However, they changed Cap back to remember what he was before that.
So in reality, though, we lost World War II to the Nazis and Germany.
Right, but reality still stands. The only thing that the Cosmic Cube changed back was Captain America.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm just not buying that
no,
everything has been rewritten. I'm thinking that
the rewrite was a rewrite of a rewrite.
Exactly. Something like that that's gone crazy. As I was explaining to Joe, some of the stuff we're seeing is like the time travel analogy of if you go back in time and make a change, it creates a ripple effect.
Well, the butterfly effect, sure.
Well, more like a ripple, not a butterfly effect, because what happens is as the ripples fade out, the timeline still goes back to established points of things happening. So if you went back, for example, and killed Hitler, what would happen is from the ripple effect, yeah, you killed Hitler, boom. But everything that had been building around him and the rippling being effect, eventually another Hitler would rise up.
Well, yeah, that's the time is constant kind of argument too.
Right.
If we have a time machine and can go back and kill Hitler, we've already done it. And so the Hitler that exists today is not the original Hitler, but it is a Hitler. Like, you're using Hitler, like, his name would be something different, obviously, but
right.
That would always happen. Time is constant. You can't change time, because if you could change time, you've already changed time.
Right. So what I'm betting is this whole storyline of the Allies used the cube to make sure that Germany did not win the war and to set history on a course. I'm thinking that memory and recollection is part of that ripple effect. So I'm betting the reality that we all knew and grew up reading for the last how many years is still there, but the whole story of the Allies using the cube to defeat Germany, who had already won, I think that's like a ripple effect of a memory that is spreading out.
Well, it loses the impact of what they're doing now by telling us that everything's going to be back to normal in a few months, and not even normal before this happened. Normal before, like back to what it was like 10 years ago.
Oh, I think it would have to be normal going back at least 20.
Oh, 10 years ago is when they started doing the, like, they're going to, like, I from understand, like, everybody's back to their original heroes and, like, the original types. Like, it's Tony. I don't know if he's going to be an alcoholic or not, but, like, Peter's not going to be, like, this, supposed to be this, like, magnet, like, business person. I mean, he might be a little better off than he was, but I don't think it's supposed to be all this other stuff. Like, the only, like, Hulk, probably back to Banner. Like, everything they've done to change identities and change legacies is going back to the classic version. Like, I've heard the theory that Secret Empire actually isn't the catalyst, that there's another series coming out that they haven't announced. And this has just been idle chat, but like an Age of Apocalypse type series that actually does the resetting, where it's Cap being Apocalypse.
Well, I remember years ago John Byrne had put out a theory of how there was always a push to put Spider-Man back to being a teenager, and it was done by the Shaper of Worlds, which is another Cosmic Cube type of character, who just went and said, you know, everything is so screwed up, I'm doing a reset. And he went and he reset everything back to Peter Parker as a teenager. And once again, the ripple effect went out where everybody would start remembering Peter Parker as a teenager. And it basically de-aged the Marvel Universe back to Peter Parker still in high school. And it wasn't picked up because Marvel was launching Ultimate Spider-Man, the Ultimate series, and they were like, well, you know what? We'll leave Spider-Man as he is. And if people want teenage, you could go read Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if there's going to be a cosmic reset button that all this mumbo-jumbo with the Cosmic Cube and altering reality, that one of the other Cosmic Cubes is going to show up and just say, you know what, enough of this, and destroy Kobik. Is that the name of the girl Cosmic Cube the Skrull used?
Probably. I mean, what's weird about all this is it's almost like Marvel didn't learn their lesson from what DC did. So, like, the New 52 was generally bad, right? Like, with the exception of the Capullo Snyder Batman and maybe the Batgirl stuff. Most of everything that the New 52
did was... Aquaman was awesome.
Aquaman was cool, but eventually it kind of was like, whatever. Like, I eventually got bored of reading Aquaman.
No, what they did with the characters... The reboot of Aquaman
was great. And they're keeping... So they kept, like, the three things that were good out of that and came up with a reason for bad writing, which is now, at this point, Dr. Manhattan messed with the universe. Wally... The original Wally, not like the new Wally, but like old school Wally, escapes from the Speed Force and is like, all of the love and all of the things that were important about the DC universe was sucked out, and it's someone else's fault. And they're all pointing their fingers at Dr. Manhattan. And Dr. Manhattan is an analogy for bad writing. And basically, they're putting all of the things, like the biggest bummer of the New 52, which feels like it's the same way at this point for everyone reading all these like Marvel comics, is like, all the history was gone, was wiped clean from when the New 52 happened, right? Like, all of the events that happened for the 75 years of Batman and Superman were, like, non-existent. Superman never died from Doomsday. Lois Lane and Superman never got married. All this stuff didn't happen. But they just combined the universes where, in the most recent run of Superman, old Superman from, like, the, you know, 1938... and new Superman from New 52 just combined essences and how the memories of both, and it's all one combined universe. And they're doing that with everybody.
Well, that was the thing. There was always – DC's always had that going since about 1986. And even before that, they had – the Golden Age existed parallel to
– Right, but then they made Crisis on Infinite Earths to fix that, right? And then in 2007 on Final Crisis, they re-expanded that. And
that was earlier than that. That was like 05.
Well, whatever. They brought back with Final Crisis, they brought back the multiverse, and then they rejiggered it with Flashpoint, and now they're fixing all those problems with this storyline, which is bringing back the heart of the characters, which is what's most important, and like the things that you love about them and their relationships and all these things, which is what they're currently taking away from Captain America, right? Like, they're killing his goodness.
Which is something Marvel's had, and I think we've had this debate of them changing these characters because they like, oh, you know, we should be more diverse and all that, and that's great. But the character that's been their bestseller from, like, being a diverse character was Ms. Marvel, was not a reboot of anybody else.
Exactly. Ms. Marvel's so good, though, too. Gosh,
the point is, like, people don't read Iron Man for the armor. People read Iron Man for Tony Stark. And Marvel did it by changing the actual person. DC did it by changing the essence of the person. Like, Batman stuck around because Batman was the only, like, Batman and the Lantern books are the only ones that took any of their history, but you were never sure of what they were, what they had taken. Like, you know, was there a full Cataclysm and No Man's Land? I don't know, because he only had 5 years of history before this book started instead of the 10 he's supposed to have. And that's something that they address.
I was going to ask, can I reveal a spoiler for Secret Empire?
Yeah, I'm going to go grab a drink. So talk about all you want for the next, like, 3 seconds. I'll be right back.
La, 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 la. I'm not listening. La, la, la.
And what about you, Ron? You don't want to hear it or what?
I'm buying the book, but it's the only Marvel book on my plate right now.
All right, I'm listening. I'll admit it.
All right. So I heard
turned down a good spoiler.
One of you guys mentioned that you think that Captain America will kind of be a god at some point. I forget who it was. Yeah. Apparently, I think they had a preview of one of the issues for Secret Empire, and they invited people up on the stage to read, like, I guess, like, the comic, and they got to the last page, and they were all like, oh, my God. What happened is that Captain America is holding Mjolnir. How does that make sense? Does that mean...
Yeah, let's let a Nazi be worthy of Mjolnir. That's good.
Well, does that mean that the real good essence of Captain America still is there, deep inside?
Or
I don't know.
Does it mean that... Nazis and proxy, I know Hydra isn't Nazis, they're different, and Hydra used Nazis, like, I get that too, but also it's known that the Nazi party was very much into Norse mythology and into mystic and magical stuff, and so, like, could they hold true to what Norse mythology represents, being Hydra, or, like, like that's a thing of World War II. Like the Nazis were big into mythology and Norse mythology and stuff like that. So that could be like a weird thing. Or I mean, go ahead, Ron.
He is still a pure warrior. Doesn't, you know, might not be pure good, but he might believe fully in what he does.
Right. Like he might be worthy of the hammer of Thor. It doesn't mean that you're necessarily like, I think Thor is inherently good, but I don't necessarily like, you know, think that maybe Mjolnir can is good, if that makes any sense. Like you're worthy of the power. It doesn't necessarily make you good. It just means you are worthy of being Thor. Right.
Can the cube overwrite that anyway? I mean, the cube.
Yeah, that's a question too. I mean, can the cube just give him the power? But does he have the cube? I don't think he has the cube. Zemo was getting the cube in the background.
Zemo.
And the thing is, Cap doesn't know that Zemo is gathering the pieces. Cap thinks the cube.
Well, we don't know what issue this is. This could be near the end of the line.
Who knows? Maybe it's a sign of hope, or maybe it's a sign of destruction. You know, we'll have to wait and see with that one.
Wouldn't be something if Mjolnir was what changes it back.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, Taylor, you want to tell us about, what was it, Button that you said with DC?
Oh, I mean, it's just great. I mean, it's good so far. There's only two issues in, but like everything leading up to it, especially on the Batman side, the I Am Suicide and I Am Bane storylines were like real good. But yeah, currently, what was really cool about the Batman issue is most of it took place within a single minute. And it was drawn very similar in the stylings of Watchmen. So like it had the 9x9 panels and each panel was like a single second as like things happened. And, I don't know. I think that what's weird is I guess both of them did the same thing. So Marvel has been doing this Hydra thing with Captain America, and it took them a year to finally give you answers to what that's going on. And the same thing happened with Rebirth. There's been like almost nothing in the past 20 issues of any of the comics talking about the Button or like the Watchmen stuff. Like there's been little hints here and there. They finally did some stuff with Superman a couple issues ago that I explained, but right now they're finally getting to like the
what about Titans?
Okay, Titans also, you're right. So Titans did some, but I'm saying like as far as like what's weird is like The Flash and Batman were big parts of that Rebirth.
Right, but they've had some interesting runs on their own, as you said. Like, I'm really way behind. I think one of my goals is to catch up in the next couple weeks, which is something like probably having to read like 12 issues a day.
Yeah, I read 18 issues yesterday to get caught up.
Ow.
But wow. At the same time, right,
Ron, so you're not alone in that.
Right, and the same thing right now. I just like I got like 3 Star Wars books in the mail in the last week. I just started Thrawn today. So there's I'm going to be doing nothing but reading, which might actually be easy with the house full of people.
Well, I guess that's it. That's it for the comic book breakdown that we had.
So yeah, sorry, I just was taking that chicken out of the oven. I didn't want to make any noise, but it's good. I mean, like I would definitely say both Flash and Batman are very good. Green Arrow is really good, but the Button stuff that's going on right now is just like some fascinating Watchmen things going on in there. And also Superman Reborn, there's a 4-issue crossover between Action Comics and Superman that explain Superman's history and how it's combined. It has Dr. Oz looking in, which you're like, Ozymandias maybe? Dr. Oz, you know what I'm saying? And him saying, like, I wonder if that's going to upset him on Mars. And they're talking about, which you have to assume, Dr. Manhattan. So it's pretty cool.
If they end up making John Manhattan, that'll annoy me to no end.
Yeah, it'd not be good.
Oh my god, that would be rotten.
I mean, John who?
John Jones.
Oh yeah.
Manhunter.
Oh no.
Because his powers—he is really powerful enough to have all of Manhattan's powers just kind of hidden. And if you even look in some of the like the pre-52 era, like he's been known like. I mean, the character had gone undercover in the Justice League as Bloodwind for, 2 or 3 years, and no one knew it was him. So it's not unknown for this character to kind of hide himself.
That'd be crazy.
I don't know. It was just me reading on the Mars thing. Probably just complete wild speculation.
Or Dr. Manhattan is secretly a white Martian.
Oh, no. Now John Jones is upset. And Dr. Manhattan's going to be like, fire. And he's going to be like, oh, no. What am I going to do?
All right. So that's the Marvel DC comic breakdown that we had recently. Sounds like DC's doing better. No surprise. All right. Here it is. Let's get into the showdown between Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. These are both two franchises that we really enjoy, but is one better than the other? Let's get this going. I actually watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy like in the last couple of weeks, the extended editions, and yeah, I mean, I still love them. I think they're great. Same thing with the original trilogy. But let's get into it first. The original movies, the theatrical editions of the original trilogy versus Lord of the Rings. Where do you think that they stand? Like if you had to compare the two?
Now we're just talking Lord of the Rings. We're leaving those other three unspeakable films out of it, right?
No, yeah, we'll get to them.
Well, the two prequel trilogies will be compared on their own.
Yes, they will. So yeah, just the Lord of the Rings and the original trilogy.
I enjoy Lord of the Rings a lot. I thought they were really good movies. I think they felt like there was a lot more fluff, and that's just the kind of the writing being more, you know, taken from a novel, and that they felt a little long, even the regular cuts as opposed to the extended editions, which I think some of the stuff that was in the extended editions felt less fluff and time wasty than was in some of the stuff that was left into the theatrical cuts. And I know it's maybe just my familiarity with the Star Wars films from, you know, as far back as before I can remember, but like, I'm left with a lot more what is going on watching those Lord of the Rings movies than I was ever in the Star Wars films. So I think there's just more enjoyable watching and rewatching with the original Star Wars trilogy any day of the week.
Interesting. You're right, but I think it's for bad reasons, if that makes any sense. So yes, there's more. Star Wars is more straightforward, but even if you like, I know, like, don't get mad at me, but if you look at Star Trek versus Star Wars, Star Trek has a much bigger, more in-depth, more thought-out universe than Star Wars did in initial concept. And Lord of the Rings, I mean, I don't know if there's any, like, besides maybe the Game of Thrones, like, besides George R. R. Martin or some of those other really good fantasy artists that think their world through as much as Tolkien did. And so, yeah, like, there's stuff you don't get in Lord of the Rings because, like, there's so much world that he created. In contrast to Star Wars, which is, like, amazing, and I probably have watched Star Wars way more times than I've watched Lord of the Rings, don't get me wrong, but there's not as much world-building in Star Wars that there is of, like, well, maybe there's world-building, but there's not world-living. In which Lord of the Rings, like, you're in this world that exists whether or not you're watching these characters or not. And I feel like it's different.
And I appreciate that, and I think that's one of its strengths. And I think making those books into something more like Game of Thrones would have been better than the movies, because there's so many characters that are supposed to be important, and I think you lose a lot not knowing, you know, not having read the books of who these, like, characters that appear on screen for 2 minutes that are important to the story are, and then disappear. But
sure.
And that's what loses me a lot of, like, especially in Two Towers. There's with all the political stuff going on in that one.
Yeah, but it's hard to blame probably one of the best book to movie adaptations that exist today on the fact that they were stuck on three movies, where by the time Harry Potter comes out, they even split one of the movies into two. Or even, let's actually, you know what? Harry Potter's a bad example. There's seven books, eight movies. Let's take Hunger Games. They made that last third Hunger Games two movies. If Lord of the Rings had been allowed to do something like that, like, it was kind of a victim of its it changed kind of how trilogies and movies and books and stuff worked. And so had it come out now, it probably would have been an HBO show, right?
Yeah, and I think they overcorrected on The Hobbit.
I mean, I can see your point, but, like, there's only two things that Peter Jackson added into The Hobbit, Everything else was basically like back filler from like either the Silmarillion or just like texts of Tolkien or all sorts of stuff that like that's really what Gandalf did when he disappeared in the children's book that was The Hobbit, right? So agreed that The Hobbit has a lot of bulk to it, way more bulk than a book to movie adaptation should, because you're like, why is he adding stuff? But he had to match what he did with Lord of the Rings, and it's almost like you can't just make a children's movie out of The Hobbit because the expectations of Lord of the Rings exist. So he had to take the pieces of Guillermo del Toro that he started and then just left to do, I think, Pacific Rim, and then go back into this thing, which he didn't want to do again, and then created The Hobbit, which through extended editions, when you look at it as a whole and as far as like all of the lore of Lord of the Rings that he threw into that movie, is pretty good.
Like, well, the lore part isn't the worst of what threw The Hobbit off the rails for
CGI,
me.
CGI, for me, is what
threw the CGI off. I thought, and Joe and I were talking about this because we were comparing the extended editions of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. The lore part wasn't the problem with The Hobbit. It was the parts that went in that to build up certain characters. Bard did not need to be a fisherman walking with the barrels. You did not need the dwarves going down the river in the barrels with the orcs, fighting orcs in barrels going down the rapids. That's the part that it gets nuts. And even Joe has mentioned it before that The Hobbit became less to do with Bilbo and more about the dwarves. It's true, because the one part that I really had the problem with was the dwarves were always in the book. The dwarves were always pushing Bilbo forward to do things because they were always hanging back. They didn't want to go through it. And during the Desolation of Smaug, where they basically robbed Bilbo of his bravest moment of going into the dragon's den and cheapened it because they decided to turn it into a Super Mario game of fighting a dragon in the dwarven mines where they're all jumping all over the place.
I mean, Bilbo still succeeded in almost every line he had in the book.
Right, but by doing all that, you've taken away the part that Bilbo, by his nature, really is better than the dwarves.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's true. You know,
you've kind of robbed it the same way as in The Lord of the Rings. I know you had to give Liv Tyler, you had to give her a moment. So they get across the ford as they're going to Rivendell, and rather than Frodo turning around and saying to the facing down the Nazgul and saying, "Hey, I'm not going along with this," they took that Frodo moment away and gave it to Arwen that said, "You're not passing. I'm not going to stand for it." We don't know Arwen. You know, this is the first time she's shown up, but we're
it's a pretty cool way to show up, though.
It's a cool way to show up, but you're robbing Frodo's moment of standing up to the Nazgul, which should terrify anyone on Middle Earth. And here you go. You got this hobbit standing up to nine of the fiercest creatures in the world that shows, hey, you know what? Frodo has the backbone to do this. But and you took that moment away from him to give it to Liv Tyler so we could see Arwen is a little bit cooler than she was.
In the book, though, wasn't it Gandalf that summoned the horses or that made the river turn to horses?
Yeah, he had built that magic into it with Elrond, that it was sort of like an automatic defense thing.
Oh, okay.
That protected the land. But like I said, it was Frodo who did the stare down of the Nazgul. You know, and I wish little things like that kind of threw me off the Lord of the Rings, but I still think both Lord of the Rings and Star Wars are both phenomenal, where I'd have to give it to a tie. Because where I find Star Wars is fun, Lord of the Rings is really a deep more fulfilling kind of journey to watch. And the extended editions make it even better because it does add a lot of bit that removes a little bit of choppiness you kind of got from the theatrical editions. That after you watch the Lord of the Rings extended editions, watching the theatrical versions, you notice things missing. At least I do. I don't know if anybody else has that feeling.
And I've never finished the extended editions. I watched all of Fellowship, and I got about halfway through. I got to the disc switch in Two Towers. And
audible gasp.
I have...
Disc switch? Are you not watching on Blu-ray? What is this shenanigans?
No, I think there was some... You're there was right. Some.
I think there is. I'm going to go look
right
now.
There's a disc switch on that one, because it's...
No, yeah, it's two discs.
It is on Blu-ray. How bananas is that? That's how pro this movie series is.
No,
it's two discs on Blu-ray.
And I think the extended editions solve a lot of the... I don't think they added any fluff. There are movies that do some stuff that add a lot of fluff. I'm trying to think of something like... All right, there's about, 90 cuts of Aliens out there, we could say, right?
Sure.
And there's some stuff. There's two scenes that I really remember. There's three things I really remember getting cut. One, at the beginning, you see Newt's parents get attacked by the face huggers and bring him back to the base. You know, unneeded. It's unnecessary. It kills that suspense from later. Oh, there's another one with Ripley and her daughter, but they just removed that plot altogether. That was fine. Yeah, then there's Hicks and Hudson, doing some prep when they're about to go down to the planet, and they're all ooh-rah marine, and it was really stupid. Great to cut. But then there's a scene with the sentry guns, which was actually, I believe, in the HBO cut of the movie well before it ever hit DVD, which is a great tense scene of they're hiding in the base, and they're just watching these ammo counters on these automatic guns go to zero as they're getting swarmed. And see, that's the thing. You have to know what to cut. And Cameron's used to be good about it. Then he has to do I need my ninth edition of the Terminator 2 DVD, where you see him glitch three more times that I filmed and left on the cutting room floor. But then there's The Abyss, which The Abyss extended edition is a completely different movie. Adds an entire plot line, which was actually more of the plot that you wanted to write than the nuclear missile in the base, and made it another
just Batman versus Superman. It's the extra 30 minutes, man, just changes things.
Yeah, and that's what it is. And I think Lord of the Rings was cut for time to its problem, to its detriment, because you can't do a 4-hour even. I'm thinking, what was, nowadays it would have been six movies, no doubt about it.
Sure. And what's interesting to me is theatrical cut of Fellowship puts me to sleep every time. For some reason, I just can't get through that movie. The extended edition does not. And I know that's opposite for Joe. I feel like he doesn't like the extended edition of Fellowship, if I remember correctly. But, there's something about adding that plot, quote unquote, back in, or those little things that the Lord of the Rings can do, that it still was cut for time, right? Even the extended editions. What you're saying is even the extended editions are still cut for time because it's still three movies, right? So,
I think the extended editions would have come out maybe a little longer, maybe a total of 20 minutes longer per movie, So it would have been it's a 12 hours now. We probably would have come out to 13 hours if they released it as six movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's what we would get now. Because there's been idle chatter for years that what are they going to do when Potter starts to trail off? Now they have
six of those dumb.
But before that, there was talk of, why don't we give Potter the Game of Thrones treatment? And I think that would work for that series. Because, if you haven't read the book, there's thing, the first one's pretty good, but, by the time you get to books three and four, half the book is missing. Whole giant chunks are missing of those books.
Yeah, the house elf thing is gone. But, honestly, did we want
that? But that adds so much more to Dobby's sacrifice.
It does. It does. But it's also come on.
But there's other the character development of some of those secondary characters was in there. you like, if you watch the movies, you see Neville's jump from nerdy to hero like happen overnight. But like, if you read the books, like he does start standing up to Malfoy and stuff, or like earlier.
Yeah.
I didn't start reading until book four, so.
You didn't read the first three books?
No, I didn't.
You can read those in a day as an adult.
Yeah, the first three are pretty short in comparison to like four, five, six.
I really read the first three over a long weekend when the first movie came out. It was like, what was it, Thanksgiving, right?
I don't know. My mom had read me the first three
books. So I went. I was probably 20, 21 in college, I think.
Really, Taylor? Are you serious, Taylor?
Yeah, my mom had all the voices and everything, man. I didn't like reading. Dude, I was like in like elementary / early middle school. I was like, reading is dumb.
You're so young,
reading,
man.
Is babies. And then my mom was like doing the Hagrid voice. And then when Hagrid did it on the real TV, I was like, that's crazy. That's what my mom sounded like.
But I went home over thing, like I saw it like I think it was like Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and then drove home for Thanksgiving dinner the next morning. And as I'm sitting there, I'm talking like, oh, I enjoyed this movie. And I think my stepmom's like, oh, your sister had all these books and she didn't like them, so here's the three books. And I finished them before I went back to school at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, I had seen the first two Harry Potter movies, and then I started reading the books after that because I didn't want to wait for the third movie to find out what happened. And they are. They're really good reads, especially for children, and how they change. Like, they're written in a way so that the older you get, the more mature themes will be brought into the books and all that. And I thought that was pretty cool.
To Joe's point, I grew up with Harry Potter. Like, our ages were pretty much the same. So, yeah. And, I mean, I was at the minute I launched that first movie after reading. Like, the first three books, I think, were out by the time the first movie came out.
Yeah.
And I was at the midnight with my mom, like just standing in line, just super stoked about it. But yeah, it's definitely, I hadn't seen the movies. I read the books before the movies, but I think it was like third book, first movie. And then they pretty much almost caught up to each other, which was pretty perfect.
Let's see.
They got real close. They got real close. I mean, I think the seventh book was out probably like 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, it got close, yeah.
But as far as, like, I mean, how many other... I mean, Hunger Games is kind of close, but otherwise, like, there hasn't been many other book series that got as close because the actors, they had to film those things fast because the actors were getting older as the things happened, so they didn't have as much time.
Well, luckily, too, they look pretty youthful, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think they picked great... I mean, Hermione's way hotter than Hermione in the book ever was. But otherwise, I think they did pretty good. And Neville Longbottom, that was just a – no one saw that coming, right? The guy who played Neville Longbottom went from looking like Neville Longbottom to some, like, you know, underwear model.
But, well, I also wonder the things like, you know, like in the later books they said like, oh, Ron shot up like 4 inches over the summer. Was it just because the actor had earlier than that and they tried to make it happen that he was, you know, a foot taller than than Harry by the end?
I don't think so, because they never said in the books that Neville was like some...
No, not Neville. I was like...
I know, but I'm saying, like, if that was the case, then they would have done it with Neville too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, getting back to Lord of the Rings and Star Wars. I just...
Oh, yeah, we haven't talked about Star Wars. You were talking about Lord of the Rings the whole time, which I mean...
But I wanted to defend myself, Taylor. I know I like the extended editions of Fellowship. I recently watched the theatrical one. And it does. It feels like a made-for-TV movie that was edited. Not made-for-TV. No, you know, like a movie that was shown on TV or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cut for TV. So it feels like it's edited. Like the whole Shire scene is like cut in half. And they did add a lot of fun stuff in there. And they added a lot of significant stuff, I think, for the Return of the King. Like the death of Saruman, which was crazy that he left it out to begin with in the theatrical ones. And I heard that he left it out because he didn't want to end the Two Towers that way. I guess he wanted to end it with Frodo and Sam and Gollum going off to Mount Doom. And then when he started Return of the King, he found it kind of uncomfortable to kind of put that in there. So he cut that out too, but it just kind of left us hanging. Now, I know you guys have read the books.
I have not.
Jack has read the books.
Really?
Well, for me,
yes, I've read the
girlfriend
who read all the stuff. She read the Game of Thrones. She read Lord of the Rings. So any questions I had, she filled it in for me. Also, weird story, since we're talking about me being young anyway, I didn't know what Lord of the Rings was right when those movies came out. To me, there was just a movie that was coming out. And when like the first movie ended and like Sam and Frodo were like on those like mountains, are like, that's where we're going, Mr. Frodo. You know, I was like, there, like, I was just like, didn't understand like sequels like that, like that had like no resolution, because I think every movie I'd seen up to that point had at least some resolution to the end of it, right? Even Star Wars, right? Let's talk about Star Wars. The first Star Wars, they blow up the Death Star, everything's kind of okay, like relatively. There's a ceremony,
not Empire,
right? Of no, in Star Wars 1, they have a ceremony at the end of,
yeah.
Oh, not an Empire. Sure, you're right. But I'm saying, like, Star Wars 1, A New Hope, there's a ceremony. The movie, like, closes a loop. Where Lord of the Rings does not even at all. It's just, like, everyone's on their own. The whole fellowship's just, like, decimated. And, like, everyone has their own groups. And all of a sudden, you're just like, what? And I just remember walking out of that as probably like, I don't know, it must have been like 11 or 12, and been like, what? Like, wait, like, where's the rest of the movie, Dad?
Like, Taylor.
Where's the rest of the movie, man? Like, I don't understand why. Like,
we're not leaving.
That's like the next movie. I don't know. I just think it's important.
And then my dad buckled me into the car seat.
Okay, all right. I mean, I was in the front seat. Probably the GameStop after, and I bought the video game. Okay, like, come on, it was rated T for teen.
I mean, that's the biggest difference, is that there was all this backstory already for Lord of the Rings.
Yeah,
you knew what to expect.
Star Wars had a lot of this backstory in George Lucas's head, which thankfully has been wiped out of existence. I mean, if you read those, most of that early. Like the comics that came right after, or Splinter of the Mind's Eye, it's bad.
Oh, I like Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Did Lucas write that? Did he write Splinter of the Mind's Eye?
He had the out. Like he gave them like what he wants to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I did read that original Star Wars thing that was in Dark Horse Comics. I don't know. I kind of liked it.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the original Marvel stuff. From like 1977 to like 1984 or so.
Wouldn't it have been Dark Horse?
No, Marvel had it.
I know what Ron's talking about.
Marvel had it originally, and they just put out omnibuses, and it's all on the Marvel Unlimited app.
You were probably Jax hater, weren't you, Ron?
What?
You were probably.
I have never even got to Jax the Rabbit.
it was like issue 8.
No, it wasn't. It was not. There was some good stuff, like, you know, Luke crashing on the water planet, but, like, they just were all over the place. Like, Splinter of the Mind's Eye was completely, like, obviously completely different with the romance going between Luke and Leia. The Kyber crystals giving Force power, which is one of the things I hate that they brought into, like, some of the way they've treated the Kyber crystals is trying to bring them. They keep trying to shove them down everybody's throat. But they were not a good invention. And then Dark Horse, like, Dark Horse was post Heir to the Empire. I think the comic went away in what, something like 86 or so. And then I think there was one like 6 series Droids and one 6 series Ewoks, and then like Dark Empire, which came after, like, it was Heir to the Empire, Dark Empire, and then the Kevin J. Anderson Jedi Academy trilogy were the first 3 things that were canon, because everything before that was kind of like, was originally kind of a wiped canon as well.
Yeah, and some of it went back further, like I remember the Brian Daley trilogy of the Han Solo books.
Those weren't bad. Those were
really good.
No, those weren't bad. There was the Lando Calrissian trilogy, which was always harder to find. Like, when the books were all coming out, they had there was always the Han trilogy. I'd never get the Lando. But the Han books were good. And they were interesting, but like before Empire came out, like the stuff that came up between Star Wars and Empire, and then after Jedi, before they wiped it with Heir to the Empire, was the other issue. Like, that's where I thought Jax came in. I thought he was much, much later. I think he's only in the third omnibus.
No, he came in, like, Han Solo leaves after the end of the first movie. And he basically turns into like a Western deal where him and Chewbacca are hiding on a planet.
Oh, you know what? Yes, yes. But I don't
remember. And they had like a Don Quixote character in there.
Yeah, it was a Magnificent Seven thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. But I don't like, I don't think he became like the samurai Yosagi Ojimbo type thing till later on. I think they brought him back again.
I only remember him from that beginning part.
Look at some of the later covers, there's like a rabbit like with a blaster on the cover.
Oh yeah, no, I remember that. Yeah, it was very corny.
But yeah, that stuff was bad, and that's what I think the modern Star Wars has gotten right. These books have been almost universally good. I know people have not liked the Aftermath series. The first book was okay. It took a while to get into. But there's this mandate with the secondary material, unless they're these short novellas, it's like, don't touch the main characters. We don't fill in the gaps on Han. Don't fill in the gaps on Leia. They don't want that done yet. I think that
don't want that done, though.
Yeah, I agree.
I think once the trilogy, like, Han's dead, you could fill in some Han stuff at this point.
Don't want that movie. I don't even want that movie. I just want a Lando movie that has Han in it as the after credit scene.
Man, you love Lando.
Gosh, he's so cool. Have you seen Rebels?
Donald Glover Lando is going to be fantastic.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Ron. I think
he's going to be really good.
He's like the best, like, the acting. It's easy to replace. I mean, it's weird to say, but like, I love Billy Dee Williams, but picking a young Billy Dee Williams is different to me than picking a young Harrison Ford. Because Harrison Ford is Han Solo. It's unfortunate because he hates it so much. It's like picking a young Indiana Jones. You're just like, just don't. Like, let's not. Like, let's just leave, like, you leave Han Solo and you leave Boba Fett, like, alone. Because they're cool because we don't know about them and they're crazy, right?
Well, I was talking more between the gap between Jedi to...
Oh, sure, yeah. Say whatever you want about Han Solo after Jedi. Like, whatever.
I think we need to get in some of that, Phil. Like, Bloodlines, did you read that? The Leia book?
I read one. I haven't read book two yet.
No, was Bloodlines had a second book?
Oh, no, Bloodlines. Sorry, no. You're talking about the Leia story. I got bored real quick, even though, like, all I wanted was political intrigue, and apparently that's what, like, it filled in. But I didn't like, I mean, I need to get back into it. That's a thing that's on my agenda. I mean, I finally read Ahsoka, and that was a great book, especially because it was read by the voice actress of Ahsoka,
yeah,
which was super exciting for me. And then I really want to read Thrawn because I'm going to get to a series, season three of Rebels pretty soon. I highly recommend Ahsoka as a book. Like, I know, yes, it's young, like young readers or like.
But
young,
it doesn't read. It reads a young readers like Potter reads a young readers.
Exactly, and it basically explains everything that went on between Clone Wars and Rebels. And lots of things. Weirdly enough, because I'd watched the first like maybe seven episodes of season two of Rebels beforehand, and I was like, wow, a lot of the things that they're talking about are relevant to me right now.
All right, let's get back on topic. I know we were talking about the movies. I wanted to just bring up again, like, Lord of the Rings. I just wanted to say, like, how I felt about that. As far as the extended editions, it's my preferred way of watching them. The theatricals are good. It's easier to watch that, like, in one night. Usually I end up spending two nights on the extended editions. But I will agree with you, Taylor. I think the last episode you said Two Towers you felt was the best. I think I'm on your camp with that one now. After watching them recently, I think Two Towers is a fantastic movie.
So good.
And it just edges out The Fellowship for me. Now, Return of the King, I had problems with, and I loved it when I first saw it, but I felt it was just like more of the same. You know, instead of Rohan, it was Gondor. You know, you had similar sort of battle scenes and stuff like that. And I know that that's how it was written and all that, but I felt
like... not written that way. Like, the two last books in both cases were just jumbled together and more chronological, because weren't the two books written as this is Aragorn's story and this is Frodo's story, and then they don't meet to the very end of Return of the King again, right?
Right. That you really could split... Well, they did. They split each of the trilogy books into two halves. And you did from the two towers. The first 200 pages were Aragorn and company, and the last 200 pages were Sam and Frodo. And they did the same thing where the beginning of it, I think the Return of King, the part with Aragorn ends when they're at the gates of Mordor, and then they flip over to Frodo. And it's once Frodo destroys the ring, that right before Frodo destroys the ring, they go back to Aragorn in the mouth of Sauron. It's been a while since I read the book, so that order may be a little off. But really, it did come together at the end of the books. But you did read the story of both sets of characters several hundred pages at a time. Whereas the movie, I guess you had to flip back and forth.
Yeah, and Peter Jackson did a fantastic job, though. I mean, taking those books and putting them to screen, I mean, it was no easy task. And you definitely give him credit, because the last one won Best Picture, right? And he won, I think, Best Director, too.
I think that's one of the few nerdy properties that I ever got a nod for, or won for Best Picture or something, is Lord of the Rings.
I mean, I remember Raiders of the Lost Ark. It was a big deal when that was nominated for Best Picture. I don't think it won, but it was nominated, and it was up against a whole bunch of other movies that are typical Oscar nominees, like very serious, deep, depressing movies. They're saying, what a difference it is. It may win because it's so different from all the other nominees, and it didn't. But it is nice to see when something fun actually gets nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, we lost Ron.
Oh, is that...
Was now I can win this argument. Both of them. The answer. There's no winner. Everything's great. Taylor wins.
No. Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so.
Man, it's not over yet.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, we got you back. Yeah, he was just saying he was going to sweep it now that you were gone.
Yeah, I was going to sweep it for both. I was going to be like, por qué lo no estos?
It was starting to rain, so I had to come inside.
Oh, okay. Yeah, anyway, so I was saying, like, Return of the King. And I know, Jack, you said last time that that's your favorite. And
it is. I know build-up to the Helm's Deep in the second one. That was just such a great build-up. But in Return of the King, I didn't feel it was more of the same thing, especially with the extended edition, because they had dropped in several scenes and you got to know a little bit more about Faramir and what was going on with his dad. You know, you got those holes filled in that you missed in the theatrical edition. And just the scene where Gandalf faces down the Lord of Nazgul, you know, how that got cut from the theatrical edition, I can't believe.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but nothing happened there. That's what bothered me. It didn't. Was that like that in the book, where he got his ass kicked pretty quickly?
He didn't get his ass kicked. He stood them down. He stood down the Lord of Nazgul, and then the Lord of Nazgul flew off to the Battle of Pelennor Fields.
Well, no, he destroyed his staff, and he was about to kill Gandalf, I guess, and then he ended up going to the fields, which again, it didn't make much sense that he could have done that.
I don't remember Gandalf's staff getting destroyed, but...
Yeah, I just watched the other night.
No, I mean in the books.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
In the books, I don't remember his staff being broken, because that's about the worst thing you can do to a wizard, because you've just crippled his power. But I don't remember it getting broken in the book, and I just thought it was a great scene. And then the whole scene with the mouth of Sauron at the end.
Yeah.
That had such much more of an impact, that the scene of just them standing around and the horde building behind the wall. It was a much deeper, fulfilling
memory. I agree with that.
True to the books. So, Ron, I'm telling you, watch the extended edition of Return of the King. You'll be happier.
I need to, and it's on my list to actually do that, like, in the near future. And I said, I think the extended editions are better, and I think, you know, it's one good coherent story, but I think going by both just being standalone movies on their own, and then taking what's been done to the universe, at like the full universe, from the extended books. I think Star Wars has over the years filled out more.
Yeah, what do you say, Jack? Do you think that too?
Well, for me, I hate to throw it as a tie because then Taylor will gloat. But honestly, I do prefer Star Wars for the fun factor. Lord of the Rings is great, and I enjoy it if it's, as Joe and I talked, if Lord of the Rings is on, like TNT or Turner or on one of the stations, I'll start to watch it. And then in a commercial break or a point where something happened I remember from extended editions, I'll pull out the DVDs and put them in. And I'll end up, instead of watching something just to have something on, I'll end up sitting there for 2.5 to 3 hours. You know, it's just, but I enjoy them. But I gotta say, Star Wars is just more fun. And if we want to talk about pop culture impact, Star Wars has made a much bigger impact than Tolkien did. You know, Tolkien may have started the epic fantasy genre, but it's that genre just isn't as beloved by the general public as your Star Wars space opera type. So I got to give it to Star Wars, the original trilogy versus the Lord of the Rings on that account of pop culture impact.
What about you, Taylor?
Okay, so like for one, I have way more Star Wars things in my apartment than I do of Lord of the Rings. Like I used to have a Lord of the Rings map framed, but Sarah got that in the breakup. But I have.
Is that why you don't have as much Lord of the Rings stuff?
Yeah, she got all of it, man. My extended edition Hobbits. Luckily, I have them on Vudu, bro. Like, otherwise, I wasn't getting my Lord of the Rings extended editions because I got them on Blu-ray from my grandma, right? I was like, nah, you're not getting these. These are mine.
I got my you shall not pass.
Okay? Me and Joe Hogarty are the only two people in the world that own 3D TVs. So, like. I've got Star Wars art on my walls. I've got X-Wings miniatures everywhere. I've got Star Wars Destiny, the card game that has dice that's, like, super great.
Wait, like, have you started playing the X-Wing game yet?
Man, X-Wing, heck yeah, bro. Like, I've got, like, X-Wing.
Isn't that just awesome?
That's so fun.
Such a great game.
Turn-based dogfights? Have you tried Star Wars Destiny? I know it's sold out everywhere, but, man, that's a great game. So fun.
Have you watched the tabletop the Will Wheaton show where they play tabletop games? They do X-Wing. It's him. I forget who else, but it's Seth Green is the other team.
That sounds great. I haven't watched it. I'm gonna watch that.
Actually, I did remember that was a fun episode.
It's one of the ones they do an extended. So there's like a full they actually show the full 2 hour game, and like you find out weird things. Like I know they were both child actors, but like they were like friends as child actors growing up, and like. There's, like, things Seth Green says he was in that I completely forgot about. Like, he was in the original It.
That's crazy.
I completely forgot, but it's a really good thing to watch. And if you want to learn the games, it's a great show to watch for that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good show. Everyone should watch Tabletop with Will Wheaton and the Geek and Sundry folks. But my point is, like, I've got Lego Millennium Falcons. I've got Remote Control Millennium Falcons. I've got... like art prints with like mashups between Firefly.
But we're talking about we're talking about the movies, though.
Well, the point is, though, I have no Lord of the Rings things. I got like 12,000 Star Wars things. Star Wars is like my favorite. I love Star Wars. Like I
say it, Taylor. Say it. Come on, say it. You can do it.
I enjoy Star Wars more than Lord of the Rings, but I like sci-fi better than fantasy. I've never been a fantasy fan. I just respect. Immensely everything that Tolkien and Lord of the Rings represents as far as world building and everything like that. And the best episode of Legends of Tomorrow, the best CW TV show of all of them this season, was when they went back and talked to Tolkien and made all these sweet Lord of the Rings references. And I was like, yeah, because like Professor Stein was like, one does not simply walk into a battlefield. And I was like, that's Boromir's line, dog. Word. I'm just saying Star Wars is great. Lord of the Rings is great, but sci-fi is better than fantasy.
And Star Wars bridges them nicely. That's, I think, what makes it such an interesting franchise, is it takes parts of both. And the stories are much more, I mean, most people would, like, hardcore sci-fi fans would say it's much more fantasy than sci-fi.
It's a Western, right? Like, realistically.
Well, you have knights, you have cowboys, you have...
wizards.
Yeah, it's...
it's very fantasy for sci-fi. And, I mean, if we're going to strictly compare Lord of the Rings in all of everything it represents to just the original trilogy of Star Wars, Lord of the Rings has more world building, more like depth, more everything than Star Wars does. But Star Wars created something that grew so much over time. Like, as far as like things America has made, Star Wars is definitely one of those things you could be like, we made Batman and we made Star Wars. And those things have, and Mario. No, we didn't make Mario. See, we didn't make Mario. That was Japan. I'm just saying, like, we made things like that everyone understands and everyone knows. And, like, Star Wars is one of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, and it didn't really carry over here, like, with Lord of the Rings, what they did. I think it's, like, more popular in New Zealand, where it was filmed with, and Peter Jackson being
And in England, because Tolkien is English.
Yeah.
I mean, he was in World War One.
As far as, like, you don't see too many...
The books really didn't take off for Tolkien until, I think it was, what, the 60s? That's when the resurgence of Tolkien came about.
But there's still it is a bigger pop culture thing there. I watch a lot of like British TV, and there are just like those little offhand references to that, and it is definitely more. I'm not going to say more respected in England, but more well versed.
Yeah, I guess I could go along with that.
All right, let's get into the prequels versus the Hobbit. That's what I want to hear about.
Would you rather have diarrhea or constipation?
Hey now. Guys, we can all agree that The Hobbit is probably better than those prequels because anything that happened in the Clone Wars is hot, hot garbage.
No, I can't.
Are you serious? You're going to fight me on this? I'm going to fight. Yes, no, this is a fight. Here's the real fight, okay? We can all
know what hit you, dude.
Wars. Original trilogy can just like do whatever it wants with Lord of the Rings because like whatever.
But you see, I enjoyed
Here's Warner Prequel. My ground. No,
I
Jack.
I enjoyed Warner Prequel talk. Movies. I enjoyed none of the Hobbit movies.
Filibuster. I'm just saying those prequel movies are hot trash. Like they have things that made Clone Wars. Clone Wars is a great thing, okay? And without the prequels, there would be no Clone Wars. But like same thing with Rebels. Like Rebels is also a great thing, but neither of those things were written by George Lucas, who wrote hot trash for everything that happened in those prequel trilogies. Like lightsaber battles were so different. Like, did you guys see? Like, I finally watched it. That freaking samurai fight between Obi-Wan and Darth Maul at the end of season 3 of Rebels was so good. But that was real original trilogy kind of lightsaber battle shenanigans going on. That was not like fancy, prancy, dancing lightsaber battles.
Well, that stuff is pretty cool, though.
I love racing. It was visually cool, man. Like, I love me some pod racing, and Darth Maul is, like, the greatest villain to be created in all those trilogies. Like, he's super cool. Love Darth Maul. Like, really love Darth Maul. Love pod racing. But then just, like, let's skip over 2 because, like, whatever. And then 3 was pretty good. Like, 3 is a good movie. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, like, you were my brother, Anakin. I have the high ground, which Mythbusters busted. Fair enough. I'm just saying, like, the Hobbit movies are more enjoyable than the prequels.
Oh, no.
No.
There are elements of the prequels that are a lot of fun. So, for example, you want to put Unexpected Journey against Phantom Menace? There were parts of Phantom Menace, at least, I enjoyed. The Unexpected Journey, it was horrible, dude.
It was
terrible.
Together that's like super good.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
The
dinner party should not have taken 40 minutes to get out of the Hobbit hole.
Wait, you guys got
dinner.
Gandalf the Grey played by.
You guys got to talk one at a time.
Never, Joe. You can't control our lives.
No, I can't hear what you're saying, and no one else is going to hear it either. But go, Taylor.
Okay, very well. Then I'll go and Taylor.
No, Taylor can go. You said your piece.
I'm just saying, you guys, like, Unexpected Journey, admittedly, is not as good as The Desolation of Smaug. But
oh my God, that's Jesus.
You can't hate on Benedict Cumberbatch ever. Okay? That's a rule. That's a rule of society. Benedict Cumberbatch can do no wrong. And
have you seen Star Trek 2?
You know what?
Oh,
not his fault. J.J. Abrams, we can blame him. It's not Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock. Okay, it's not his fault. Sherlock and Bilbo Baggins, or Sherlock and Watson, are arguing about treasure in that second movie, and that's great. You're just like, whoa, wait, Sherlock's talking to Watson. And then you're like, wait, it's not Watson, it's Bilbo talking to Smaug. You know, you got to think about those layers. There's so many layers.
That's just for fans of the Sherlock series, though.
Mm-hmm. But I love Sherlock so much, I don't think you guys understand.
Look, I love Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I don't see Arthur Dent running around in Middle Earth the whole time.
It's different. It's different.
He has longer hair in the Hobbits.
Yeah, come on.
I specifically, I've never bought, like, I have over 1,000 DVDs. I only bought the
DVDs?
First DVDs, Blu-rays, whatever you want. But I only bought one of the Hobbit movies because I found it in the $2 bin. I don't own, I did not buy the second or third ones. I just don't have any interest to watch those again.
I bought it twice because, you know, my ex was like those Hobbit movies. No, okay, honestly.
They make great coasters. They really do.
You guys, the behind the scenes was great because they thought about it beforehand and it was all in HD, and so it was all on Blu-ray instead of DVD. That's what makes me mad about the Lord of the Rings trilogy is all those special features are on like 12 DVDs. You're like, come on, bro, like put it on Blu-ray. But they didn't film it in Blu-ray. However, they filmed it in Blu-ray this time, so all the extra features are on HD. And they're great. Stephen Colbert, second movie. That's what makes the movie great. He's in the second movie. He's the guy with the eye patch. His whole family's in that movie. Didn't you know? You didn't, because you didn't watch the special features.
No, I knew.
That's what makes it a good movie. That's not a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It's not Stephen worth Colbert, sitting through to pick out Stephen Colbert. Colbert. Sorry, Colbert He's fans.
Great. Also, I'm still saying it's better than the prequel. I have no real freaking ammunition right now because I just don't.
Wrong.
No, I'm not wrong.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. But how can
you love the movie so much? You
tell
still
me,
have all that
try to tell me why episode 2 is better than anything.
Episode 2 is pretty bad.
Thank you, Joe. Episode... Hogarty, host of Nerd Alert.
I barely said anything.
Episode two was not great by any means, but there were different parts. At least there were some parts of it I could enjoy.
Yeah, didn't you enjoy Smaug's voice when he's talking to Bilbo Baggins? Bilbo was like, I did stuff, and then he's talking to freaking Gollum, and he does that whole riddle situation.
No, because I kept wondering, why the hell are you taking off the ring, Bilbo? You've got a 20-ton dragon running around here looking for you. If it can't find you with the ring on, what the hell are you taking it off for?
It's bad for you. Didn't you watch Lord of the Rings?
They didn't know it was bad for him.
But I do.
You do, not Bilbo didn't. Bilbo thought it was a nice little trinket he found.
I know, but did you see his little teeth in the when he was in the Lord of the Rings movies? And he was like, it's mine.
That was later on.
That
he
was
didn't
when
have the foreshold knowledge
Bilbo
he was
going to
mess him up.
Ash was like, I've got android blood. Can't trust me.
Hey, if there's a dragon the size of Smaug looking for me and a ring makes me invisible and he can't find me, I'm not taking that sucker off until I'm in a different continent.
You're not a hobbit. You don't understand their lives.
Well, it's also a world where wizards don't actually use magic ever. They just kind of sit around with like a sword.
If he used magic the whole time, the whole movie would be solved for them. You know, he's an elder, okay? Like, in Lord of the Rings and in The Hobbit, in the Tolkien world, like, if he was, like, as super powerful as, like, a wizard should be, like, all their problems would be solved. He can't really interact. That's why he couldn't take the ring. That's why the eagles couldn't help, because they're old, like, super gods. Like, he's, like, a meta god. He's not, like, a super god. But, like, in the levels of Lord of the Rings, he can't mess with that, like, quote-unquote, like, muggle stuff going on, right? Like, the hobbits can mess with it, the dwarves can mess with it, but, like, once you get higher to the higher level, like, you can't just, like, yo, what up, eagles? We be friends. Why don't you, like, ride me to the thing? You can't do that. Fly, you fools. Whoever puts that on Facebook, every time they share it, I want to punch them in their dumb faces, because you can't call on the eagles to do any of that stuff. It's not how it works. Read a book. Stop just looking into dumb stuff and retweeting things like, oh man, today's the year the Back to the Future happened. It didn't happen this year. It happened 2018. That's it.
2015.
Whatever. The point is, didn't happen in like June or like weird dates that they kept putting. Like, today's the day. You're like, no, it's not, man. Watch a movie. It's October. October 31st. 2015. Also, I'm still mad at Pepsi. I just want to shout out Pepsi. I'm so mad at you. I didn't get any of that Pepsi. Pepsi free?
Or is it perfect.
Pepsi perfect. Thank you. I didn't get any of that. I was like on Amazon refreshing my feed. I'm a fan. You gave it to people on eBay that resold it. I haven't had a Pepsi since.
Oh, wow. Pepsi has made an enemy of Taylor Catcher.
I don't make enemies easily. No. I'm a pretty happy guy.
He gives Pepsi an 8 out of 10. That's how angry he is.
You know what? Yeah. You know what? I'd give Pepsi 6.5.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, 6. Not even a. You didn't even get a C. You got a D.
What? Did he give Suicide Squad an 8?
Exactly. Think about that for a second. I gave Suicide Squad like an 8. I'm giving you a 6.5, Pepsi. You're on my list.
But what happens if you do get a can of Pepsi Perfect?
They go back. If someone can give me a can of Pepsi Perfect. Well, actually, you know what? No, whoever gave me the can, 10 out of 10. Pepsi didn't do it. They didn't help me get a can of Pepsi Perfect. If Pepsi, at Pepsi on Twitter, you should tweet them. Also not helpful during protests, I hear. Doesn't work. I've seen videos.
Also, like, so that's how you're going to try to make friends with Pepsi?
No, you can't. Kendall Jenner won't help me get a can of Pepsi Perfect. I'm just saying, you guys, like, I need this can of Pepsi Perfect to put on my shelf. Like, I wasn't going to drink it. I wasn't going to resell it. I just wanted it to go next to my Lego Back to the Future thing and my 30th anniversary Back to the Future Blu-ray and then my previous before that Back to the Future Blu-ray. And then every time I want to talk about Back to the Future, I just want to be like, look, there's a can of Pepsi Perfect right on my counter.
How much is that?
I just wanted it for like the $17 that it was on sale for.
How much is it going for on eBay?
Too much. You know, I wanted those shoes too, but you know what? They're for charity, so I can't blame Michael J. Fox. You know what? Like, if he's going to sell them for $2,500, give them to charity, fine.
What is too much? Is it like $100 or?
Yeah, that's too much, man. They were selling for $25. I want them at cost. I want my Pepsi Perfect at cost from Amazon or Walmart or whoever was selling them, but they let those sneaky sneaks that resell things buy them first and not give them to the fans.
Look at that, problem. $55 for a can, for a bottle of Pepsi
Perfect. Too much. Whatever cost was, like, even if cost originally was $55, I wouldn't have bought it, and I wouldn't have been upset that I didn't get it. But, like, whatever cost was like, $25 max. And
here's
I would have been
a case
like,
for $10,000.
Oh, wow.
Hear that? That's
and 13
baloney.
People are watching it.
13 baloney people. Baloney people.
Right.
The Hobbit is better than the prequel trilogy. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, getting
That's
back
the
to that.
Point.
I would say
everything we've been saying, everyone's agreed. Jack's agreed. Ron's agreed. Joe's agreed. We've all agreed. The Hobbit better
it's
than
terrible.
The prequel
trilogy. No, we didn't
it's
agree to that.
Good. I did not agree to that.
We were just talking about it.
Exact
we were talking
opposite
about
of
being bad equals the Hobbit being bad in the prequel trilogy.
I would say episode 2 is by far the worst out of all of those movies.
Yes.
Can we agree on
Joe
that part?
On my side. Joe on my side.
I will say that An Unexpected Journey, I do enjoy parts of it. But the problem with Peter Jackson, though, that I've had, though, is that he just went too far. And again, Jack and I were talking about this, too. It's like that whole crap with when they met the trolls. Again, that should have been, you know, Bilbo's chance to shine. Bilbo rescuing the dwarves. Not having the dwarves.
Because, like, actually, it wasn't Bilbo, though, with the trolls. It was Gandalf, right?
Yeah.
It was Gandalf that used his vocal things to trick the trolls into talking to each other, which admittedly was one of my favorite parts of the books. And when I saw the Hobbit movie and I read the books, and I was like, this is hot trash because that's not what happened. Okay.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Rankin Bass did better than Peter Jackson with the material. Sorry. That's just
but
it. No,
visually
no, but.
Not
it's,
interesting.
It's not even a but.
Peter Jackson was trying to make a visually interesting film. It's more interesting to see like dwarves fighting trolls than to have Gandalf make them talk to each other for 20 minutes.
Dwarves riding around on pigs. No, sorry, that's not interesting at all.
Warthogs.
Come on. Warthogs, okay.
Wait, when did that happen?
The third movie?
They were riding on pigs?
Yeah, man, remember that one dude was like riding on the warthog and he was like...
Oh, no, oh, okay. Oh, that's when the armies came together, okay.
Yeah, the battle...
Then these army. Worms came out of the ground. Like,
I'm still trying to figure out who the fifth army is.
You guys ever wish there was like a better Dune movie?
The miniseries.
Yeah, I like the miniseries, actually.
And what still wasn't what Dune should be, you know?
Dude, as opposed to the six-hour director's cut, which the director hates.
Yeah, still, I mean, like, better than all those things. Like, I heard they're making a new one. I'm pretty excited about it. Are you excited about it? The point is, it's... Okay, all right. So we can all agree that you guys hate pretty much everything to do with The Hobbit, and we can all agree that the second Lord of the Star Wars movie is real bad, right? So of all the things we're talking about right now, the second Star Wars movie is the worst.
Attack of the Clones is the worst thing ever.
Yes.
But I would still rather sit through that than any of the Hobbit movies.
Any of them?
Any of them.
Then that means it's not agreed upon that that's the worst thing of all six things we're talking about. Ron agreed. I agreed. Joe agreed. You're odd man out. Boom.
No. I will agree. Episode 2 is terrible.
Yeah.
But I would still rather sit through that than any of the Hobbit movies.
When's the last time you saw episode 2, though, for real?
I've got a 13-year-old who watches these movies constantly. I could say I have probably watched episode 2 sometime within the last 3 months.
Have you sat him down and been like, flicked him on the nose when he watched it? No.
No, I've got him convinced that the water bottle trilogy is better than the prequels.
No.
And they play them a lot on TBS, and sometimes I just will have it on. I did see part of Attack of the Clones recently, and it's pretty damn bad. It's horrible.
But still, it's still ahead of the Hobbits.
I don't know if I would say that. I have, like I said, I don't have a problem watching the first one, first Hobbit. The other two I have problems with. And again, it's because he went against the source material. I know, Taylor, you know, your defense is, well, he had to make it more interesting. I don't think he had to. I think that he could have gotten away. I didn't need another love story. I didn't need the good-looking dwarves to show up. I mean, they're all supposed to be damn ugly. That kind of bothered me, too. I mean, as soon as I saw that they had human-looking dwarves, I knew that it was going to be some sort of romance.
I'd rather watch nine people play D&D than the Hobbit movies.
But you'd also watch the Hobbit movies over episode 2, Attack of the Clones, which means... that if three movies are better than one of three of other movies, then they are better.
I will say, though, I think if they edited the Hobbit trilogy and also the prequels, I think you'd have a good movie.
And both, I mean, both trilogies were one movie?
Yeah.
That'd be a much harder decision.
And to say, like, a 60-minute feature...
No, not some animated baloney crap, okay? I'm just saying, like...
Into a 90-minute
feature film that wasn't that real bad Clone Wars movie, then we'd have a real competition here. We're never going to argue. We're never going to agree upon what we've got. I'm just saying that Peter Jackson did the best he could and George Lucas did not the best he could.
Episode 3 was Peter huge. Jackson episode did 3. Not
the best he could have.
Peter Jackson did everything. If you watch
Peter Jackson, you don't know. Ego ran amok. That the studio offered to let him do 9 hours of movies on a 200-page book.
How fat he was in Lord of the Rings. Then he was like, I'm finally skinny, and like, this is great. And then Guillermo del Toro bailed out. So now I got all this stress of Lord of the Rings again on me, but now it's The Hobbit. I'm going to get super fat again. I'm going to worry about everything all the time. Or George Lucas just was
I don't think Peter Jackson had spent years in New Zealand to eat just so he could film The Hobbit there.
Well, you have to admit that Jackson and Lucas are very similar to each other.
Yes, their egos are just run amok, and no one tells them.
I think they're chlorine.
Yeah,
I still blame Jackson for ruining Superman Returns.
What did he do with Superman Returns?
Snyder, he was sick during it, and Snyder had to was flying back and forth between the two sets of that and King Kong to try and help out Jackson, supposedly.
Oh, you mean not Snyder.
It was Bill.
Not Snyder.
Singer?
Singer, yeah.
Singer.
I recall that now that you mentioned that, yeah.
You can't blame Jackson for freaking Superman Returns.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him on that one either.
Like, King Kong's not a good movie.
I like that King Kong. I like
King Kong.
You guys liked King Kong.
Except for the ice skating scene at the end. I thought that was just moronic.
We understand who's the obvious better movie critic here. Since
yeah, I don't like that King Kong either.
You know what that means, you guys? That
no, I'm sorry, but you can rate movies under 6.5.
And so I win.
Wait, what was your analysis there? Or we missed it.
Hobbit wins. Oh, my analysis was Ron and Jack like King Kong, meaning they're null and void in everything they've ever said. And so everything you and I say is better, and you kind of agreed with me. So that means that The Hobbit is better than prequels, meaning that's the answer.
I think we need to cut Taylor off because he's sounding drunker and drunker every sentence.
He sounds better and better, though.
You guys, I'm just trying to make good content.
Yeah, and you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
All right, let's move on from there. What about the musical score? We have John Williams versus Howard Shore.
Oh, come on. You can't, John Williams. You can't beat Williams.
No comp.
Come on. Boo, next question. John Williams.
I mean, I think Howard Shore did an excellent job, though.
Oh, no. Lord of the Rings is a great... I mean, especially, again, I think The Two Towers, that soundtrack for The Two Towers is, like, freaking amazing.
Yeah.
I'd buy it on vinyl. But guess what I already actually own on vinyl? John Williams' score for Star Wars. So, you know...
There's been very few great original scores over the last, say, 18 years. I think, like, Pirates is the only score that stands out in my mind as something original over those since, like, 2000.
With John Williams, it seemed like his first score, I guess, for the first Star Wars movie, you know, was great. It was fantastic. There were so many memorable pieces. And then when he came back for Empire, he added the Empire's theme and Yoda's theme and I think Han and Leia.
Leia's theme.
It was great. I mean, it wasn't the same old stuff. And the third one, you know, there was some new and different pieces. And with the prequels,
Battle is fantastic.
Yeah, that is very good. And with the prequels, he did Duel of the Fates, and which was another fantastic piece.
Duel of Fates is so good.
Yeah. See, now we...
Yeah, 2 and 3 were not memorable, I will say that.
No. But Howard
Shore...
Duel
of Fates, though.
See, what bothered me with Howard Shore, though, is that most of his stuff just kind of carried all the way through all the movies. And then he brought it to The Hobbit when the Nazgul attack Frodo and the other hobbits, you know, like in the beginning of the Fellowship of the Ring, and Frodo gets stabbed. And that's the theme for the Nazgul or something. They use that same music for when they were getting attacked in the trees by the White Orc. I mean, that's sad.
I don't even remember the Lord of the Rings themes. I can't even picture them in my
head.
Dude,
what? Get out of here.
No, I think they're perfectly fine in the movie, but they don't jump out at me as anything I really grabbed onto to remember. And I think I said, I think there's very few things since like around 2000 that have done that. I mean, I only remember Potter because I've watched those movies so many times. I don't think any of the Marvel scores... The only thing I remember from Batman Superman that like sticks out was Is She With You? And I don't think most people really would even picture that as like a memorable kind of musical moment. But like, I just think there's something that they're great for the movies, but I don't think they stand out like they used to.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings soundtrack is real good.
It is.
It's really, really, really good. For as far as film scores go, it's one of the best. I think it did win. Didn't it win musical score for the Oscars? I feel like
it kind of won a lot.
I don't remember.
But yeah, like it won Best Picture and Best Director, and that's impressive. And that's something
Nerdy property, that's super impressive.
Yeah, it's Lucas didn't
never win.
For what he did with all three, he deserved it totally. And actually, the one thing I do remember is I think it was a Two Towers trailer. They didn't use move. They used the song. They used the music from Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, yeah, that was great. Yeah, but I will say George Lucas was ripped off that he didn't win Best Picture for Star Wars in 1977, and that was won by Annie Hall. And
Annie Hall's a good movie. Was that Rocky the next year then?
'76
was Rocky.
Empire.
I don't know.
Empire wasn't even nominated in 1980?
Boo! That's the best one. Everyone knows that. Come on.
1980 Best Picture. Is that like...
No, 79 was...
No.
Was it Raging Bull?
It was 80.
Really? Oh, I guess it would have been the best picture for 80, but it came out in 79. Because it's 77, no, it 79, and 82, right?
No, it was 77, 80, and 83.
Well, I guess you know.
So it was Ordinary People would have been in 80, and so 81, which would have been against Empire, was Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire? I mean, that song is pretty popular, I guess, but like, I don't even know what that movie's about.
Yeah, it's kind of boring. It was an artsy movie. That's the whole thing. They win a lot.
Man. Empire Strikes Back should have won.
Well, we'll wrap this one up. I had a lot more categories to go, but we'll be here for hours if we go through all the categories.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. But I think that it comes down to, I guess, the last category that we kind of discussed was longevity. And I think Star Wars has really touched a lot of people's hearts more than Lord of the Rings.
Well, Lord of the Rings has been around longer, right?
Yeah. They're both great movies. They're both great franchises. And it's very difficult to pick a winner with both of them. But I think we could kind of all agree that, I mean, if we were stuck on a desert island, we'd want to be stuck with a Star Wars movie than Lord of the Rings, I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're also a Walt Disney World News podcast.
No, originally, I'll be honest with you, I was watching the movies and I really thought I was going to give it to Lord of the Rings. We didn't go through a lot of categories, so we might have if that was the case. But for now, we're going to leave it at Star Wars.
Our hearts say Star Wars.
All right,
say Lord of the Rings.
We have one listener email, and I just want to mention it and see what you guys have to say. This is from Tim's son, and he asks, while recently watching the Rebels episode Twin Sons, there was a scene at the end where Obi-Wan is watching a young Luke being called by Aunt Beru. What's the deal with Obi-Wan on Tatooine? Was his job to stop Darth Vader and the Emperor from turning Luke into a Sith? Was he ever planning on training Luke to be a Jedi? If so, why did he wait so long since Jedi are trained at a very young age? And why did Luke go by the name of Skywalker, not Owen and Beru's last name?
All right, bro. Let me lay some knowledge on you. There's a comic book out there. It's a Star Wars comic, recent, and it's basically about Obi-Wan during that time and explains why Uncle Owen hates Obi-Wan, right? Because basically Obi-Wan's sitting there like overseeing young Luke, making sure he's not doing anything crazy, but like making sure he's not got some force powers going on, you know? And it's all about that. So you should read that comic book because I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's great.
But what's the deal though? I mean, why didn't they train Luke at a younger age?
You got to keep those force powers hidden, man. The Empire was looking for force-sensitive children. Didn't you read Ahsoka? That's some crazy stuff. You got to watch out, okay? Like, you've got the Empire with their Inquisitors looking for force-sensitive children, and you don't want to bring any sense to back to Tatooine, where Anakin came from, which seems like kind of like a place where you'd probably maybe go back to. Like, if you're like, man, Anakin came from there, maybe there's someone else. Weirdly enough, no one came.
But Anakin,
why would Vader go there? He hates sand.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say
he hates it exactly as much as I do. And you know what? Who also hates sand, according to these posters I got? Kylo Ren, because Grandpapa Anakin hates sand. Kylo Ren also hates sand.
Did you see at Celebration had a lot of people having Hayden Christensen sign jars of sand?
Oh, that's so good. You know what? Poor Hayden Christensen. Like, that poor guy, like, really got shafted on bad writing. Like, he's not the best actor, but... Man, like, his entire life is like, I hate sand, right?
But Celebration was his triumphant return in a way, because he really got like a standing ovation. You know, people really appreciated him as an actor and what he did. And I guess they do feel bad for him. It wasn't his fault, like you said. I mean, it was the writing.
Yeah, people know. We've been distanced enough from that to be like, you know what? Not Hayden Christensen's fault. And he's become a meme on the internet. So we like him now.
Yeah, and I wouldn't mind him being in the sequels.
I'm excited. If he's in episode 8, I'd be pretty stoked. Like, super stoked. Had he had the director that J.J. Abrams is for Adam Driver's characterization, like, Adam Driver's characterization is the perfect Anakin, but but like in a reverse sense where Anakin's being pulled to the dark side and obviously Kylo Ren's being pulled to the light side and has to have these temper tantrums to keep his negativity and his dark side up because he's being pulled by the light. Whereas like had there been that like level of attention to detail and had there been that level of attention to character from Lucas that JJ gives to Kylo, we would look at Hayden Christensen as a different actor today. Because Adam Driver is basically playing the better version of Anakin Skywalker in Episode 7.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
It's kind of like looking at like Nicolas Cage's filmography and being like, he can be so good and they can be so bad. And you're like, well, if you could be both, then it's not necessarily the actor. It's the writing, it's the directing, it's the other things, the editing that go into that that make someone bad.
And plus, there were good actors in the prequels, and they all.
And those are still bad movies, right? Yeah. Like, what's her name? Padme. Natalie Portman's a great actress, like great. She's still real bad in those movies. Samuel L. Jackson. Even like Ewan McGregor. I know that Joe hates his guts, but
I don't hate his guts.
Dislikes him. He's no George Clooney in Joe's eyes, but he's not good. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'll take that one.
But like, Joe is still like, you know what? He was pretty good in Beauty and the Beast. Couldn't hate him. Yep. Couldn't hate him. So like,
yeah, he's the best actor in the original trilogy because he just did what he was. He wasn't going to listen to Lucas. I'm going to be a sarcastic ass the whole time.
Yeah. Like, hello there. Like, that's a meme now. Hello there. You know, like, he did whatever he wanted with the part and made it okay. And that's fine. It's just, like, Hayden Christensen was a young actor. He kind of listened to whatever George Lucas said. And he kind of pooped the bed in acting. But I don't think it's necessarily his fault. And he's become this, like, meme. In a world where the internet and meme means everything, he's done a great job. Like, I hate sand. Hilarious. It's good. Like, we all like it, and that's fine. And like, just like, you underestimate my power. So good. Just like,
oh, man.
So good, right? Like, it's amazing. You underestimate my power. I have the high ground, Anakin. Great. All of it's great. But only great because we can look at it from a like from a step back.
From a certain point of view.
You know, yeah. So, and I'm so glad he came back for this new celebration because, like, him and Luke got pictures together and some Mark Hamill or whatever. And just, like, he can finally be accepted for what he was, right? As, like, this, like, it's not necessarily his fault. But we can still accept.
I always feel bad for Jake Lloyd, who was a child and got
right,
so
that guy
much
hates Star Wars.
Yeah, he was trashed and never bounced back from it.
He couldn't bounce back. He was too young, man. Like, it sucks. Like, that super sucks. And, like, that's kind of, like, why, like... Also, I think that both Clone Wars and Rebels, as, like, an offshoot, helped fix Anakin as an adult character.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when you watch Rebels, you're like, gosh, man, anytime he's with Padme, I kind of want to, like, gouge my eyes out. But otherwise, like, I kind of like Anakin. Like, I'm starting to like... I kind of like, you know what? He's kind of okay. He's a hothead, but he's still the greatest pilot of the galaxy, you know?
I watched Sith recently, and he was going through a nervous breakdown.
He is going through a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, he'd lost his mother. He was afraid of losing his wife and his future child. He didn't know if Obi-Wan was on his side. He didn't know if Emperor Palpatine was on his side. The Jedi hated him.
We're writing the better book than George Lucas made the movie right now in our heads to help fix this movie. Like, you're right. Like, he was having a nervous breakdown, but George Lucas didn't write a good enough movie to emphasize that well enough.
Now,
but,
like, when you have directing
as a background of, like, you know, he wasn't a total terrible dum-dum that he was in, like, I mean, because you have that, what, like, 3-4 years supposed to take place right in between those two movies to, like, understand Anakin. He trained in Padawan. Like, all these things that, like, you're like, you know what? He's not a total dum-dum. He obviously is having a mental breakdown and, like, an anxiety attack. And, like, all these things hitting him at once that causes him to be – and also this guy that's, like, telling him that he's doing the right thing, this powerful – person that you're supposed to look up to is Emperor Palpatine. That's like, yo, you can fix these things with the dark side. You know what I'm saying? Take another hit of this dark side. Like, you remember when you killed General Dooku? Remember that? Man, that felt good, right? Like, just take another one. You know what? He can't help you. Mace Windu can't help you. They won't let you be on the Jedi Council. They won't let you be a master. Listen to me. Like, this guy just, like, whispering in his ear, right? And, like, he's having this mental breakdown. And that's why it happens. But you have to have all that backstory to make any of that make sense. And George Lucas just didn't have that in those movies.
Yeah.
He wasn't a good enough writer to make that happen. But when we can take a step back and think about it, we're like, Anakin's fall makes sense. Like, it's okay. And that's why Hayden Christensen's cool now.
Well, yeah, if episode 3 was 10 hours long, I think it would have made a lot more sense.
So much more sense. You know what I'm saying? It's right. It's what I'm talking about. And that's why Peter Jackson extending the Hobbit movies makes...
No.
1 hour into 10 hours, baby.
No.
We're back on track.
Hobbit
better than prequel trilogy. I'm so glad that you, me,
ain't gonna happen.
Like Ron, Jack, all of us came together.
Ship has sailed. Wave goodbye from the pier in your tears, crying away.
Sometimes less is more. I think it's like that for both of them in a way. They just don't understand that
because they surround themselves with yes men.
Yep.
That no one is willing to say, hey, why don't you dial it back just a little bit? But they're like, no, you're brilliant. Keep on going.
That's probably really true.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap this up. This is a long one. All right. So, Ron, can you tell our listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, we are at Nerd Alert Pod on Twitter. We may actually tweet from there at some point in the future if we ever remember to. But we do, you know, check if there's mentions and notices. So if you do want to hit us up there, we do do check that. And you can find me at Gracie's Butler.
And Taylor?
Hey, I hardly tweet at all anymore from anything, but you can find me at TCatch, that's TK4TCH on Twitter. Please look me up. I have a YouTube show about comic books and popular culture called Comics Chat with Gat. It's with an S. It'll tell you, look up Comics Chat. Did you mean Comics Chat with Gay? And you'd be like, no, YouTube. I meant Comics Chat with Gat. Please bring me there. And that's pretty fun sometimes. But also, just find me on Facebook at Taylor Catcher with a K, because I probably put most of my opinions there. And we could be best friends. So do that.
You guys planning on doing an episode soon?
I don't know. We're on a weird hiatus because Chris is being a bum. And, like, not wanting to do it every week. But I think that we've reached a point, weirdly enough, like, you can cut whatever you want of this, but Chris now knows comic books, so, like, the dynamic that was Comic Star with Gad doesn't exist anymore, where, like, I'm teaching him stuff. Like, he's started reading comic books on his own. Like, he's reading comic books I don't even suggest him anymore, and I'm just kind of like, my little baby is, like, flown from the nest, and he's just, like, doing his own thing, and I can't control him anymore. It's like having a teenager. I can understand my parents now. But I'm like, still do this thing that I said. And he's like, no. And I'm like, okay. And so we're thinking about we're rebirthing to make the most sense of things. Because it's like we're rebooting. We're not changing anything. We're just kind of like going back to basics. And I think we're going to start, once I get a new computer that like lets me use Adobe Premiere better, we're going to like build better like episodes about comic book characters, and I'm going to make fun graphics, and it's going to be pretty good. But the idea is, like, we're still going to have conversations, and he's still going to be like, wait, what does that mean? And then I'm going to have to do some dumb graphic to, like, make sense of Chris's shenanigans. So that's that.
Yeah. Now, you guys should watch it. I don't know if you guys watch it, Ron and Jack, but it's informative, definitely. Like, if you're not familiar with some of the stuff they're reading, it really helps. And a lot of times, you're convinced to even go out and buy it or watch something that they're watching. And also, it's funny because you could just look at Taylor's face and you could see him get frustrated at times with some of the things Chris says. I think that's hysterical.
Yeah, it's good. He's good at that. Pushing my buttons.
Yeah. And Jack, where could they find you?
Short version. You can email me at jack at www.nt.com.
All right. And you can find me, same place, except I'm Joe at wdwnt.com. So with that, this will be the end of Episode 7 of Season 3 of WDWNT Nerd Alert. And until next week, see ya.
Stay nerdy.
And remember, friends don't let friends watch The Hobbit.
And remember, Episode 2 sucks.
Everybody remembers that.
Good, don't remember.
Boy.